Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today we have with us Tim Rickey with Rickey Media. Welcome, Tim.
Hello.
Well, Tim, before we get too far into things, tell us about Rickey Media. How are you serving folks?
Well, my main thing is I've had a lot of businesses through the years. I'm one of 10 kids and 8 of us are entrepreneurs. Dad was an entrepreneur. So it's kind of in the blood. So I work with small businesses. Also, I train speakers. I used to work for Tony Robbins as a speaker's coach. So I train speakers on presentations and also help them write books so they can feed the two together to have a nice presentation with a book to sell or to give away.
So you find writing a book is good foundation for no matter what career you're in, if you're an entrepreneur?
Well, yes. One of the things I explain to people is, you know, if you go out and try and sell someone one-on-one, first of all, you're perceived as a salesman. On the other hand, if you're a speaker with your product and you have a book, you step up to the lectern, you've been introduced, you're perceived as an expert and they're listening and you have a whole bunch of people to talk to who already respect you. So which way do you want to go? And I leave it with that. And then pretty much they understand the strength of that. The scariest part is me, a speaker, you know, they're scared to death of that, as we all are the first time we try it, you know. But I get them through that with some workshops and seminars that I've done over the years that really make that work out well.
Now, regarding the writing their own book, how do you kind of go about that? Is there, because a lot of people in the back of their mind says, yeah, I'd love to be an author. But the writing part seems overwhelming. They don't know what to write about. And then just they may not be great at articulating the thoughts in their brain. How does your process work?
Well, actually, I have a list of questions. And we look back at those questions that go towards a certain area. If it's their business, it's pretty easy. Because if they've been in business for any length of time, they're already an expert because they're in the business. And they probably know more than anybody else who tries to address that same subject. So we go by taking that business as the forward, unless you can get somebody to write the forward, and then go through the steps of what it takes to make that out. And I have templates for books. To do that, I have contacts for doing their cover, which is critical. And then also that they can format it as a PDF so they can give it away or sell it. And it doesn't cost them anything as a PDF. They print it, of course, it would cost. I've done it. I do it both ways. But the idea is to take them through these systems. And I'm all about systems, just as I am with working with Michael Gerber. Everything is systems. When I ran my first business, it started with a business nobody was doing. So there was a lot to learn. And in that process, I learned to systemize everything so that I could be free to do some of the other things I wanted to do in my life. And that's what I do with the book. I do that with saying in the book. Now, I'm not asking them to write a novel. Most people are not coming to me to write a novel because just the word is intimidating. And I can actually take them through the steps where we can get it done and published in 30 days or less. I've done it many times. I have 23 books myself. I'm on a 24th right now because of the system I developed. And it works. And those interested want to do that, man, let's go. Let's go have some fun.
So then the book writing process isn't just wait for the muse to come and then I'm going to wax eloquently and then write this beautiful prose. You have a way to kind of get it out of my head pretty efficiently.
Well, yeah, the thing is, I don't call myself a ghost writer. I call myself a coach writer. Because a coach, if you think about it, compared to a consultant or a ghost writer is this. If you, years ago before Michael Gerber invented the word coach, business coach, there was only consultant. A consultant comes in and fixes it. In a case of a ghostwriter, they actually write the book with after a few questions. While a coach, he teaches you how to do it. In other words, if you go to a basketball game, you're on the team, the coach isn't going to shoot the basket. He's going to tell you how to shoot it. And that's the same thing with coach writing a book. They already have the knowledge. You just don't know how to pull it out. I do with a bunch of questions and simple. It's a very simple format, actually, in the long run, on how this is done. And when people go, oh, my God, that wasn't so bad. Can I write another one? You know, because it is a very simplified system of doing it. I'm going to do some webinars on that within the next 60 to 90 days. So it'll be Zoom type thing to teach people as well.
Now, when you're working with somebody that's an entrepreneur and maybe has neglected creating these systems and processes for their business, how do you start kind of getting them on the road to having kind of this owner's manual for their business?
Well, the first thing is the people you're talking about is 90% of them are off track. They're really, they bought a job because they've never systemized it. So they can't get free of doing the actual technical work. They're still plumber. They're still a chef. All of those things are still there. They've got to remove themselves from just doing that. And that means systems. So when you write the systems, then you have somebody else you can bring in. Here's the system I built to do this job that I've been doing for years. Just follow the system. So you have a mix of verbal, but you have to journalize it in video, audio, or book form so they know where to go. How many times in our life have we taken a job and the bosses come up and they explain all this stuff to you? And it's, God, I hope I can remember that. I want to do my job right. So you're frustrated. You're under pressure. The stress is there. While the boss said, okay, you heard what I had to say, but here's the manual and the system you work with. Now it's a whole different ballgame. Now they can do it, and they do it much better because the system's in place. And this is what Michael Gerber has at Radical U is what we're developing now. He's just going to open it up on September 9th. And the first thing we address in there, and I do this with entrepreneurs, always have, so you want to have your own business. And they'll agree, yeah, I do. I says, okay, tell me about the passion for it. Because if the passion isn't there, they're not going to succeed. It has to get to the point where the dream is so big, it carries them through. The desire to do that. And I know because that's what I went through when I built mine. I was living on the floor of a studio apartment. My kids were 1,500 miles away. And I only had $13 to start. And I started that business and eventually did millions. But the passion and the drive were there to make it happen. And because of that entrepreneur stuff in the past, it, of course, played a big role in that all happening. Because I knew where to go and whatnot. And I do remember I was talking to a friend just a while ago at lunch, and he said, you know, was there a point where you thought your business would fail? And I said, well, yeah, I got to a point where I wanted to actually sell it to my partner. It was very small at the time. And I told my girlfriend, I says, you know, I'm thinking of selling to my partner. And she looked at me and she said, chickening out, are you? Now I froze in my tracks when she said that. I was embarrassed. First, I got anger for about 3 seconds. And I said, wait a minute. I wasn't fearing success or failure. I was fearing success because with success, there's more responsibility. With failure, it's over with. That little term from her changed my life, and I went and built a multi-million dollar business.
Wow. Now, does this system strategy work for service businesses as well as kind of product businesses?
Well, my business was a service business. I built the second team maid service in Florida. The other one was just outside of, get it, yes, Atlanta. You know where that is. That was the first time I saw it was an Entrepreneur magazine back in 78. I said, that's a good idea. And I kind of left it alone until I was into that situation. But you see, it doesn't make any difference what the product or service is. It's the systems that do it and that make it work. Leadership, customer service, accountability, quality, accounting, presentation, all of those things play in. And when you think about those things, every business needs those to grow. So it isn't about the product or the service. That you already know when you start. Otherwise, you wouldn't have even started in the first place. So it is the whole idea of building a business systems is to systemize absolutely everything you do. Like when I got to the point where I needed someone to replace me at the desk as a secretary, I actually didn't develop the system to the complete degree. I went out and bought an 8-cassette course. And then we took and inserted in between that course, which also was a notebook, the things that fit into my particular situation. The system was done. I never had trouble with a manager after that because they knew exactly what to do. So it's all about systems that produce the product or the service. And if you're in the product business, you are in the service business. You are in both because you got to back it up. Got to deliver on the promise.
Now, is creating the systems a thing that an owner or an entrepreneur can do on their own, or are they too close to it that they need kind of fresh eyes to look at it and to kind of fill in blanks that maybe they just take for granted?
Well, Lee, it's a two-way street. In my case, I instinctively knew to build systems. For years, I was with Sears, which was, in, when I was with them, a very big company. I actually left them in 75. I saw it coming then. So Sears had really put systems into me. Plus, I was a company clerk in a Ranger outfit. So company clerk, you know, you're in the military, everything's acronyms and systems. So this was kind of getting built in. I didn't know it, but most do not have those things. So they have to develop them or get a coach. And I always say there's four people you need in your business. You need a coach, you need an accountant, you need an attorney, and you need a financial planner. Get all four of those right from the get-go, so you and you use them as you need them. And the one thing I always make clear to people, you don't hire these people full-time. They're all part-time when you need them. But if you have those in place and that coach is going to guide you through the steps of putting those things into place, and you do that. I had a client last week. She wasn't making any money. In looking at her business for just 1 hour on the phone, I found her $20,000, just like that. She says, oh, my God, I never noticed that. That's why you have a coach, because the experience factor I have, because I'm not a coach who just went to a school to learn how to coach. I'm a guy that did it, and that makes the difference. The experience factor is huge in here. And I've been in manufacturing, service, and retail, all three. So I can address any of those with a little more ease than most. His is usually a coach has been in one or the other. If any, I may just have a course.
Now, for the folks out there who have never had a coach before, what can they expect like in that early, in the first meeting or maybe early on in the relationship?
Well, the first meeting is just kind of an open discussion to find out where they're coming, to find out about their dream. I have a little question sheet I sent out to them. I want them to fill it in, send it back to me for the call. That gives me some guide into which direction they're going and if it's even a feasible thing. Because if it's not feasible at that time, I'll tell them. I had a gal last week. She wanted to start a business. She's totally broke. They have no money. She's thinking about going back to work to catch up on the credit cards. My suggestion was, yeah, go back to work and let's build that business slowly so we can do it and you can afford me. Because the one thing I make very clear, the most precious thing we have as human beings is time. And if you're asking me for my time free, is that fair? You know, usually that's a wake-up call. And after a while, the clients, a lot of them do get back to me after a while when things get better. And we start slowly but surely and just address the main issues. Right now, what I'm doing with most of my clients is addressing their scripting. When a call comes in, as an example, on a service business, how do you handle it? What do you say on the phone? Is there a script? I can't think of any that have one. So we develop a script, because if you get the script right and you're doing the math on it, you find out where the objections are before you get to the objections. You've answered them beforehand. So that increases your closed ratio, which increases your income. So I went from my company is called Tidy Made at the time. I went from a 40 to an 80% close ratio because I tracked every single call and everything I said. And I kept changing the words in that script till I got it to the point where everything was yes, 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 yes. And then it was usually if you do it that well, they'll say, when can I start? You don't even have to close. So it's scripting is first. And also to look at where you're spending your money on marketing now, what percentage of close do you have on each? They don't know. They never know. So that's another thing we look at. And before we know it, they can afford me from just the savings they had, and yet they're getting increased traffic in the four places they need it with the right scripting. Everything turns around.
Now, in your career, what do you find more rewarding? Is it you coming up with another million-dollar idea or your clients?
No, it's my clients. It's definitely, you know, I've coached a lot of speakers as well. And the fun is seeing them succeed. It absolutely, there's no payment can exceed that. It isn't. I trained two people in Toastmasters to reach the world championship. And when they were at that final speech contest, which is 8 people out of 30,000 who made it there, and they call me and say, hey, coach, I won. I'm doing that dance in the living room just like they are on that stage. So there's no better reward. There just isn't, you know.
Now, do you enjoy coaching speakers or entrepreneurs or authors?
Well, all three, actually, because all three can become entrepreneurs.
Or now, two is of that what happens, that one kind of bleeds into the other?
Yeah, actually, when I do the one on how to, I call it, quick start speaking. Or fast start speaking. I go through a day seminar with them and teach them how to get comfortable, how to get rid of the fear, and then have them do a presentation during the day with the team in there to help give a little bit of mastermind feedback on it. And then when they've got that done, then we'll talk about you want to do a book to back up that speech. Some do, some don't. They just want to learn how to speak and with comfort in front of their group or wherever they are. Could be just a lot of them are corporate people who are trying to move up the ladder. And they come to me and say, you know, I did a speech last week and they told me, you better call Tim, so I can get them straight on that. Because when you learn the right way to do it, and I always suggest Toastmasters International, it's worldwide. It's a nonprofit. It's very inexpensive. It's the best education I've ever gotten. I wouldn't have been a writer if it hadn't been for Toastmasters or a coach. Either one of those. Both of those came out of that process. So they go to Toastmasters.org, put in their zip code, they'll find the clubs around them. Orlando has 50 clubs. That's how big it is. Wow. Most people have never even heard of it. And there it is right there next door practically. And there's a system for that. They go to a couple of meetings and they sit in and just watch. Clubs are usually around 20 members or less. So it's very comfortable. You're not walking in a room with 500 people scaring the heck out of you. You know, you're okay with it. And then we have mentors in the club. That's how I started with the speech contest. Matter of fact, those were mentoring. They weren't paid. One's going for the world. That's a mentoring process. So everything is there. And then Toastmasters has an online program that takes them through each type of speech there is in 45 different manuals. So through the years, they get very, very good at it. And you remember the book, Think and Grow Rich?
Sure.
He was one of the original Toastmasters.
Wow.
Yeah. There's so many. All the astronauts are required to be a Toastmaster. They're speaking with the public, and they've got to be able to say the right thing. It's too critical of PR on that, you know.
So, now, is there any kind of advice you can give that novice speaker?
Oh, there's a lot of that. I actually, when I evaluate their speech, I go through each component of it, especially when I'm training for the world championship. We get to the point we're looking at, it could be two or three words in a sentence could go up, high, low, fast or slow. That's how refined you get it at the championship level, so that it comes across exactly the way it is. An example, if you're doing a speech with a mix of comedy and seriousness, and if you're going into contest, you better have both. So if you're going to switch from, you're telling jokes, it's fun, you know, you're telling stories that are funny, and you're going to switch to something serious, you pause. Tick, 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 and then you begin, because the audience has just been told there's a change coming. That pause tells them that. So they're aware of it. If you go right over, that gets confusion. Is he being serious or is he just still joking? So little things like that. And when I talk about vocal variety, I explain to him that vocal variety means that, yeah, you have ups and downs, but there's the speed of it, how fast it goes. So if you're telling a story and you're trying to make a fine point, you might say something like, now let me make this very, very clear. So it sinks in. And then if it's comedy, usually move it faster. As I do a speech on Nothing Could Go Wrong as an Elvis impersonator, which I did for 23 years for charities, something went wrong every time. And in retrospect, it's really funny. But when it happens, it is not. It's kind of embarrassing. Oh, yeah. I mean, when your sideburn rolls up and your belt falls off, and your guitar string breaks, those are all funny things. But you have to put those out in vignettes. So I went to school called the Bill Gove School. It's up in Atlanta, matter of fact, the Bill Gove Speaker School, which originally was started by Mark Twain, and then we use his system through that training. So I suggest people want to go to the next level up, attend the Bill Gove School there in Atlanta.
Now, you mentioned you have a book upcoming. Is there a way to give us a sneak peek on what it's about?
Yeah, I've got the book. It's take 10 years. The first one of a series of 7 or 8 is called Kidpreneur. Starts with me at my first business, and it goes through those. The first book goes through up until I was into my teens and my first job. And my first business was one block from Wrigley Field, which today is called Wrigleyville, that whole neighborhood. And I watched people's cars when they went to see the Cubs play. I was 4 years old when I started that. And it was by accident. You know, and I explained it in the book. After each chapter, there are lessons. So the whole idea of this series of books is to make it possible for them to learn all of the things about entrepreneurism that I went through the years to help them along their path.
Good stuff. Well, if somebody wants to kind of learn more about what you're up to and plug into some of the different services you offer, whether it's they're a budding author or speaker or entrepreneur, what's the website?
The website is Tim Ricke, and that's RICKE.com is my website. And I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and, you know, all of them. But they can go to TimRicke.com. I'm rebuilding the site this week, as a matter of fact. And they can learn a lot about from me. Go to LinkedIn. That's where you guys have been, I'm sure, to see about me. And I work with Michael Gerber now as a partner in building a radical university. Now, the radical university is very unique. Michael is absolutely the most brilliant person I've ever known in my life who really knows what it takes to build a business. And if anybody's heard of the book, The E-Myth or The E-Myth Revisited, that is Michael Gerber. He's out in Carlsbad, California. And he has built a whole university online called Radical U. And if they go to my site, the link is on there as well, which takes you through where you can subscribe to this on a monthly basis. And I'll tell you this, that course is so good. It's better than anything you get in a business school. And I sincerely mean that, because Michael really knows his stuff. And I've spoken at all the universities in Central Florida, UCF and Rollins, places like that. And the professor will bring me in, and he or she will say, "Well, students, we have our business plan and we have our marketing plan. Now, Tim Ricke is here to tell you what really happens." You know, and that gets a laugh. And they do. I open their eyes to what it's really about. Too many times now, somebody will go to California with Silicon Valley with an idea. They come in, they get a lot of money to back it, but they have nothing to back other than the product. So the 9 out of 10 will fail because they don't have any systems in place. Mm-hmm. And the people that come up with the money do it because they know 9 out of 10, but that 1/10 one's going to make a lot of money. So they really don't go into depth, you know. So a business plan is essential. Mainly the executive summary, the first page. It's a marketing page. You know, you got to get their attention on that first page. They're not going to go to the second page. You got to get the people with the money on the front page. I should write a book on this. I raised $1 million for a company in 20 minutes because I could present. those are some of the things that come that I can teach. And anybody wants to notify me there, I will get back to them. That's a promise. I always do. And I look forward to talking to them because I get as excited as they are about their new ideas and concepts and where they want to go with their life.
Well, good stuff, Tim. Thank you so much for sharing your story today, and congratulations on all your success.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.